God bless you. It's a wonderful thing to see people memorize the Word of God. And this morning we're going to read from the Word of God. We're going to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. The scripture is on the overhead, and I encourage you to read together with me. This comes from an account of Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, which is extremely important for Christians to understand and to read. So please go ahead and read along with me. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Let us pray. Lord God, as we hear your word, speak to our hearts. Let us this morning encounter the resurrected one, Christ, who is alive today. And Lord, I pray for those who are here today. There are Christians, but there are also non-Christians. There are people who seek you. There are people who don't seek you. And Lord, you love each one. And so I pray for the ones on the outside of faith that they would consider the words of God and move toward relationship in Jesus Christ. I pray this in your most holy name. Amen. Resurrection Sunday, all over the world, Easter. Hundreds of millions of Christians come together to worship God. They sing, the poor, the rich, the weak, the strong. They all shout joyfully the words, "He is risen. He is risen indeed." You can't imagine the power of those words. He is risen from death to life. That is more power than anything. That's a rush. If there's anything in life that's a rush, the resurrected King of Kings is. I want us this morning collectively to think about the miracle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God in the flesh was executed, died, placed in a tomb, and rose from the dead. A miracle within human history. Eyewitnesses. There's no explanation for the church of Jesus Christ if you don't consider the reality of the resurrection. There would be no purpose for a church. God rose from the dead. The Son of God rose. Not a legend nor a myth, but a fact, a truth, an event in real-time history. So my first question today I want us to think about is this. What does the resurrection mean? The women had witnessed Jesus' brutal death on the cross. They saw the punishing wounds. And they had come to the tomb to do their duty, to care for the body, like many women do today. They embraced the call to serve in a most intimate way, to serve someone who died. Many here in this small sanctuary have lost a loved one, and after death, you have done the important work of carrying, keeping the memories alive, taking responsibility for contacting family, dispensing with possessions. After death, there is always a lot of work to do, and sometimes it goes on for years. These women were doing it. They were beginning to do that long work that takes place after the death of a loved one. And some of you understand the emotion that goes into this, and you know the emotion that was in their hearts as they approached the tomb. Their work of carrying spices to anoint his body was a precious sign of love. We let funeral homes do this kind of thing today, but we still do acts of love during these times. We send flowers, we create memorials. Those are our expressions of love. Yes, here we see women showing great love, but they were interrupted. Something happened, an untimely event that broke into their schedule. Jesus was not where he should be. The resurrection took place. His body was not there. And you sense the confusion as you read this text. Even when the angel tried to help out and said, "Don't be alarmed, he is risen." But they were alarmed, and the Bible tells us they fled the tomb, trembling and bewildered. They were afraid. But do you know, they became the first preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he rose again, these women. What would you do if you were in your shoes walking into the tomb and the angel was there and said, "He's risen"? What would your response be? Put yourself in their shoes. The prophecy was fulfilled. Death was defeated by the resurrection. But sometimes it is hard to believe in a miracle, even when it's looking you in the face. Christ, though dead, is alive, seated at the right hand of the Father to judge the living and the dead, interceding for you and me and this church. The resurrection of Jesus Christ for us is a great hope, because our understanding of what Jesus is doing now is that he's not only sitting with the Father, but he cares for us. He is ever interceding on behalf of us. He knows our failures. He knows our struggles. He loves you. Have you committed your life to him? Resurrection gives hope to the entire world. The resurrection of Jesus gives hope to those suffering today, because they know that the suffering will end. And as they know Jesus Christ, they will be welcomed. To those being exploited, taken advantage of by evil rulers, atheistic dictators, political organizations that attack God, rest assured, the resurrection is more powerful than anything like that. The resurrection gives hope to a rich person who's beginning to realize money is not all there is. Some rich people eventually begin to understand that they will never take their money with them. They realize that their wealth and their money is empty. And they begin to understand and seek truth, seek God. Yes, rich people can come to God. The resurrection gives hope to these people. The resurrection gives hope to a political leader who realizes that the power has corrupted her heart, that the power is changing their heart, and they begin to see the truth of Jesus Christ and repent and turn to Christ. The resurrected one is the hope for all. The resurrected one is the hope for the poor, the abused, the embittered. Sometimes when you suffer, sometimes if you're poor and people take advantage of you, you begin to hate. You begin to hate those people who are hurting you. And sometimes the poor cannot see the love of God. But the resurrection frees the poor to receive God's love and mercy and to forgive even an enemy. The resurrection means that death's power is broken. There are two kinds of death that I want to talk about this morning. There's spiritual death. Spiritual death is separation from God. What separates us from God? Our sin separates us from God. Our rebellion separates us from God. The Bible says that without Christ, we are dead in sin. We are spiritually dead without God. Yet when we surrender to Christ, when we receive Him into our life, that sin is defeated. Sin kills. Secret sin or open sin. But thanks be to God that He took our sin upon Himself on the cross. And through His death, His sacrifice, He opens the door for us to come into relationship with God, to receive forgiveness and to be set free from the terror and bondage of sin. That is the power of the resurrection. We can be made free from sin. Physical death comes to us after the fall of Adam and Eve. The rebellion and sin resulted in death. And all of us now die. In fact, if you're young, you don't feel like you're going to die. But if you're as old as Wally, you begin to have aches and pains in your body. And you begin to say, you know, my body is not like it used to be. And you realize that death will come. But the message of the resurrection is that death has been destroyed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A Christian does not have to fear death. Death is a normal occurrence. If you believe in Christ, you know that one day this mortal, corruptible body will die. But on another day, you will have a resurrected body. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says this about death. You know, we fear death. This is what the Bible says. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His faithful servants. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His faithful servants. There are Christians all over the world who die. Christians in China, Christians in India, many of them for their faith. Christians in the United States. The scripture says in Psalm 116 that it is a precious thing. Are you a faithful servant? Let me ask you. Will your death be precious? I call on you to be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. And that means you have to take steps moving toward Him. You know, there's a lot of directions you can go in life. You can go left and you can go right. You can begin moving toward God, or you can be moving away from God. And then today, there's a lot of ways to move away from God. I would ask you to name them, but we wouldn't get out of the church if you did. There's so many different ways that take people away from God today. Drugs is a big one. God help us. But Paul understood that death was defeated. And in 1 Corinthians, he makes fun of it. He makes fun of death. In a rhetorical statement, he says this. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection is also evidence of God's power. When Christ enters your life, it's not simply an intellectual thing. Some people think a Christian is somebody who simply says a few words and they're a Christian. They get baptized and they're a Christian. That's not really true. A baptism is an outward sign of an inward experience of God. When someone is a Christian, it is intellectual, but it's also heart, it's experience. You experience the reality of Christ. I went to a church one time where business people came to the church because they liked to come to the church because they liked to sell to the Christians. Yeah. And so the business person wasn't a Christian, but he likes to come to the church to sell to the Christians. There's also people who come to a church because they like the feel of the Christians. They like their friendliness, but they may not even know God. And if there are people like that in our church, pray for them silently. Pray that they might come to know Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection. The Bible teaches us that the power of the resurrection is available for all. In John 3, verse 15, it says, "Everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Whoever believes will be saved." You may have been a young man and killed somebody. Yeah, or a young woman. Sometimes women kill nowadays. And you're in prison. And you realize that you've sinned. And you pray, you call out to God, "God, forgive me." Will God look at you and say, "I don't like you because you're a sinner"? No. God will say, "I died for you. If you truly receive me, I will accept you." Anyone can come to Jesus Christ. My second point is this: the resurrection gives meaning to the cross. This week I've been thinking about the difference, the contrast between Palm Sunday last week and Resurrection Sunday this week. At first glance, last week, the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, looks awesome. On Palm Sunday, Jesus enters Jerusalem riding a donkey, and the city apparently had heard of his arrival. People filled the streets, and there were shouts, "Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!" The people were waving branches and put the branches in the dirt and their clothing in the dirt, welcoming Jesus. "Hosanna, Hosanna!" Jesus went into the city. The people wanted a political savior. They wanted a politician that would free them from Rome. And they heard about Jesus, this great leader. And Jesus walks into Jerusalem. He goes into the temple and he leaves the city. He goes out of the city and nothing happens. They wanted something, but they didn't get it. This reminds me of people sometimes in the church who demand something from God. "I'm going to follow God because he's going to give me a wife. I'm going to follow God because he's going to make my business rich." And if their business is not rich, they follow another God. What's interesting is that on Easter, Resurrection Sunday, when Jesus was on the street again, he heard different words. "Crucify him! Crucify him! Kill him! Give us Barabbas! We want the revolutionary!" People are fickle. And we know that Jesus knew this, because the Bible tells us that when he saw Jerusalem, he wept for the city. Easter Sunday starts out sad. Jesus is supposed to be in the tomb. The women are going. They witness a terrible thing. And the women are going to go and take care of the body. But then he is risen from the dead. That is what Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is about. The cross was the road, the path to resurrection. And so as Christians, we embrace the cross. We accept it. It is a part of who we are. But we understand that the cross represents and points to the resurrection. Don't ever forget that the power of the resurrection is through the cross. And I don't know what you're struggling with today. You may have your own crosses you're carrying, your own burdens. But I encourage you to have hope in God. Thirdly, the resurrection makes history and proves the love of God. Jesus rose from the dead. That is the central point in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." There are some people who don't believe in miracles. Some people who don't believe Jesus literally rose from the dead, they consider it a fable, a myth, a story. Why in the world would you go to church if you don't believe in the resurrection? I've asked this question many times. I know preachers and theologians that don't believe in the miracle of the resurrection. Why are you in the business of religious ministry, Christian ministry, if you don't believe Jesus rose from the dead? But there are people like that, and I pray for them. Essential to our Christian faith is that Christ rose from the dead. And that power, that very same power, as we surrender to Christ, we may experience. Thanks be to God. In a few minutes, we're going to take communion. I want you, whenever you look at communion, to also think about resurrection. Because communion is something that is connected. We remember not only the death of Christ, but we remember that he will come again. So in communion, we need to take a special time to reflect and meditate. It's a time of confession where we look into our heart and we see where we have failed. You may be married to someone. You may have a sister, a brother, that you have had something against for many, many years. In communion, you are called to forgive. So before you take communion, you must be right with God. We have a moment of confession in our communion. And if there's hatred that you have for someone, you must drop it and ask God to forgive you. Otherwise, you should not take communion. Communion is a time to look back, on the cross, and then meditate on what Christ did for you, for us. That Christ went through hard times. You may be going through hard times, but your hard times are never as difficult as what Christ experienced. Communion is a time to look into your heart. What is my motivation? What is my motivation? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I doing it out of a sense of purity and holiness? Or am I doing something simply because of my own pride and arrogance? In communion, we're reflective, self-reflected. It's a time to look up. It's a time to look to God. It's a time to worship God. To worship as we take communion, we worship our Lord. That's a part of communion as we celebrate. It's a time to look around. A lot of the time in communion, we don't look around. And I'm looking around. My brothers and sisters, from many different backgrounds, Cantonese, Fujian, Hakka, English, Putonghua, Spanish. Some of you don't even know what you are. But we need to look around to our brother and sister. We share communion together as a family. But not only in this church. There's a church down the road taking communion. We are a part of a great body of believers. So whenever you take communion, don't have pipsqueak thinking, but have thinking of the great majesty of the body of Christ around the world, because you share communion in that context. We look forward to his coming. He has promised to return. And finally, we look outward. Communion is a testimony, is a witness. Communion is preaching the gospel in visible form. So when we take communion, that is a picture of Jesus Christ. It's preaching. It's a mini sermon. God calls us to reach others. So this morning, my friends, as I conclude, I encourage you to no longer be silent about your faith. No longer be silent about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let that resurrection power impact your life as you move toward him, as you surrender more to him, as you follow him. And no longer be afraid of the future, because for the believer, the future is secure, and we don't need to be afraid. Let us pray. Lord God, I commit your people into your hands. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given life, that you chose to give your life for us, and that your resurrection is power and proof that you are truly God. And we acknowledge that in Christ's name. Amen.